I'm so bad. I don't even know what I was going to say.
There are two ways that could have gone.
Yeah.
Could be, I'm so bad at, or you could be referring to the person, I'm so bad. I'm dying to know which one it was.
Well, my misplay was definitely bad, but I was referring to I'm so bad. I had a great story to tell.
Different than the I'm so perfect story? I was there.
No, not the I'm so perfect story that we are going to tell. I had another story. Thought it was good, too. Audience would have really enjoyed it.
It's not the one I'm thinking of.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we take smart influence when we should have taken social influence. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
You pulled a misplay out of our playtest in Animal Kingdom.
Half of it is the icons. I should have known what they are, but sometimes I don't. The other half is a great example of how bad I can just be at games. Like, just bad. Because I did have an amazing plan. I was going to become, in our game, a smart flyer. Or candidate for the smart flyers. And my plan was to be able to lean two voters and then bank two voters. I was going to crush it. However, I forgot that the ability that I created, that I came up with, was actually supposed to be for the social trait and not the smart trait. So we start the game and I gain two flying influence. I gain two smart influence. And then I go to do my, you know, my combo. And I can't do it.
Too smart, not social. You know, what's funny is I was also trying to play the social strategy, but I had the social influence for the game.
Is that funny? You just tell me you did it right? Is that?
Well, it didn't matter because of what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Well, you're right. It would not have mattered.
But you wouldn't have noticed. You're too busy fixating on my carnivore influence.
Your carnivore influence was really strong. And I think that particular ability I really like. Mark is referring to the trait in the game for carnivores. The first ability was other players couldn't follow them. So we have in the game currently what we're calling a crowding mechanic. If you go to the same location, the same habitat as another player, you get bonuses and then additional things trigger in the game. And Mark's character was a carnivore. And the first ability was carnivores couldn't be crowded. You couldn't go to a habitat that had a carnivore unless you were also a carnivore. Second ability, Mark started eating Arlene. So his stronger ability allowed him to eat another voter in someone else's leans when he banked one of his voters that were carnivores.
I felt like I had a great personality for a serial killer candidate.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
And it just didn't matter.
You know, the idea with the last playtest was to play around with the abilities and to see if using these abilities made the game feel different, that the characters, or in our case, just you and I playing, felt like we were on a different...
Felt like we were different people.
Different.
Characters?
You know, I re-listened. It's funny you say that. I re-listened to the last podcast. And I couldn't believe the number of times that I said people, like we want to be people in the game. And I just kept going, it's the Animal Kingdom. there's not any people. I know people is kind of like, they understood what I meant.
Sheeple.
I'm going to say hard no. I'm going to shoot that idea down now. But I see what you did. The person walking around in the Animal Kingdom is not going to be a human trying to become the elected official of all of the animals. So I might keep doing it, but I have to make sure to say animal or voter. No, not voter even. Like, I mean, they do get the vote, but...
I have them conceptualized as voter in my head for the vocabulary of the game.
What about the people who... Yeah, voter for the voters, but what about the people who are trying to become the ruler?
They're candidates in my head.
Candidates. So that's the verbiage I got to use, not people.
Sure.
We'll get into that. What are we doing on today's episode?
We're going to tackle the tier zero, the OP strategy.
You keep saying tier zero. I have no idea what you're talking about. but I really like it. It sounds very business.
You played a competitive card game for multiple years. I'm sure that was a thing that you've heard before.
Oh, like the best deck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like so far the best deck that you have to play it. Like Cobblade was tier zero if you were playing Constructed Magic during that era.
Okay. I understand now. Yeah, I thought it'd be bigger or better.
No. While I was being a carnivore social butterfly with my fancy character and my cool abilities, I'm Sabet broke the game.
Yes.
And you broke the game or would have broken the game if you played last time?
Yes.
So our work here is we've got to solve that first. Because I had a blast being a carnivore social butterfly, but my decisions in the game didn't ultimately matter because of the way that the have one influence of everything strategy worked out in the way that you could autobank. It insulated you from being crowded in a way. It actually made being crowded beneficial to you. So there are a lot of things that having that strategy be present in the game and so easy to access becomes prohibitive for other things.
And we'll explain and talk about that strategy in a minute. But today's episode is sponsored by Koenig Creations. Koenig Creations is a print and play design studio that seeks to make accessible, fun games that are easy to print. Their games include Vault, a solitaire dice game, and Flip Freighters, a competitive flip and fill game. Both games have been adapted for Board Game Arena and are available to play for free. Their newest game, Elevator Operator, has players channeling their inner AI as they seek to get customers up and down to the preferred hotel floor. If you'd like to know more about Koenig Creations, visit their website at Koenig Creations, K-O-E-N-I-G, K-R-E-A-T-I-O-N-S.com. Koenig Creations. Easy to print, easy to play. They have such a good slogan. I love it. Easy to print, easy to play.
Rolls off the tongue a lot more than a podcast about creating a board game company that creates board games.
You guys are still heckling me about that.
It was a good try.
Thank you. We've shortened it once already. It's just going to be a podcast eventually. The Misplay, a podcast.
Well, I feel like it's one of those things that we workshop. I think back to Word Warpers. I like playing with words. I like writing the articles. I don't know what you think about writing the articles. I know you always add a little piece whenever a newsletter goes out, but I'm not sure like what your stance on writing as recreation is. But I'm venturing a guess you might not be the storyteller.
Funny you say that, because I went to college my first semester to be a writer. I wanted to be a sports journalist. And first semester in school, I did terrible. I mean, absolutely. I'm not sure you can do worse.
Were you playing too much WoW?
It's an even funnier story, but...
he is a storyteller. I take it all back.
But, I always say I didn't have a good experience my first semester in college. And I didn't enjoy my writing classes. And I stopped. And I switched and became a business major. Here we are. Systems.
Telling a story on a podcast.
Yeah. So I did want to be a writer. I am not.
I learned something new about you today.
Where are we?
We're at an interesting spot in designing Animal Kingdom. We've had two playtests since the last show, which is a big increase for us.
Yeah, that is.
But in those two playtests, we've started to hone in on, dare I say, the turn.
Oh, yeah. No, we're there.
We're there?
I think we're turning.
We're turning.
We're in the turn.
Well, we're going to need to take a detour because we found a break in the road, in the game, in the design.
You got a turn to go, yeah.
And we need to address that first. So we talked about it earlier. You and I'm So Bad you solved the game essentially, right?
Yes. So the first playtest, so Mark said that we had two playtests. The first playtest, neither I'm So Bad or I played. We were both observers. And when Peter set out the rules for this version of the playtest, I'm So Bad and I independently, we didn't know this till after the playtest, had seen the best strategy. It was very clear to us that what you needed to do was just go around the board and collect one influence of every trait. And by doing that, you would then basically auto bank all of the voters anytime you saw one anywhere. And we watched you guys play. Nobody did that. Everybody did something entirely different. And we were both just to ourselves like, guys, that was not optimal. So that was the first blight test. We saw it. And then when you guys did your debrief, we mentioned it. We said, I'm so bad. I'm sure did it very tactfully.
Are you sure he wasn't muted?
He might have been. But yeah, we pointed out that nobody did that. We're like, guys, why did nobody do that? I'm calling it now rainbow strategy, one of everything. So because I didn't play, I was really eager to get another playtest going. I said to the team after that playtest, let's do another one on the weekend. I want to make a couple of changes to the game. I want to add some abilities and let's play again. Using the feedback that you guys had given us already, we made a couple of changes to the game and we played on the weekend. And I'm so bad and I talked before the game. I said the strategy I was going to do. I was going to fly around and I was going to, you know, lean to, bank to. And I'm so bad had already told me that he was going to do the rainbow strategy. He was just going to grab one of every influence just to see, just to show that it was broken. So you, me, I'm so bad played, and I'm so bad launched right into his strategy. I launched in the mine. You were the carnivore. Mark was doing cool things in the beginning of the game, and it forced us all to become carnivores early. Once I'm so bad's strategy became apparent, he had nearly all influence. What would happen is when he would go to a habitat and reveal a voter, so they're face down, he arrives, he announces he's going to do a rally, the voter flips over. And if you match the traits, you automatically bank it. You get a point. Normally, what would happen is if you match any of the traits, they come to your leans. They're leaning towards you. They're likely to vote for you, so they stay in front of you. But if you match them all, it's just an automatic bank. And so I'm so bad, no matter where he went, he banked somebody. And then what he started doing was following us. And he would go to the same habitat we were at. Well, when you crowded, when there were two people at a habitat, instead of revealing one voter, two voters would reveal. And now he's banking both of them. So he didn't have this situation where I thought I could bank two every other turn. He's banking two every turn. And we really couldn't get away from him.
So clearly, the game doesn't play the way that we want it to.
It's the way we design the game. It is not the way we want to play the game.
It's interesting to me that the two playtests were so different in the way that the players approached the game. I wondered what it is about the group that sat down to playtest one of this version and didn't play that strategy or didn't see the strategy. Whereas in playtest two, both you and I'm so bad saw that strategy. I'll concede. I wasn't looking for it because I was just like, oh, we're testing abilities. I'm just going to pick two, and those are going to be the abilities that I play with. I didn't see the wider piece of, okay, there is this rainbow strategy that will just supersede everything and make everything irrelevant. It's become a little bit of a joke in meetings. We've talked a lot about the feel of the game that we're seeking, the vision that we have for the game. In the roadmap, you asked, who is our target audience? And last week you said, if we're making a game trying to make it for everybody, we're not going to make a game for anyone. And I think the microcosm of these two playtests, playtest with group one and the, I'm going to call it the Power Gamer playtest with you and I'm so bad. Different people seek different things in games, and the way we play, we seek different things in the way we play. I accuse you of not being a storyteller because I've been thinking about the research and writings of Dr. Stuart Brown on play. He's the founder of the National Institute of Play. And he has these archetypes or personalities of the ways that people play. And I think part of the reason why I personally didn't see it is I don't play the competitor the way that it's outlined in his writing. You and I'm so bad very clearly do. You like keeping score. You always want to be beating me.
Always. Like, you've shown this to me now, and we're going to talk about it. And I've looked at the list, and as much as I want to say I'm all these other things because nicer to be some of those things, I am and have always been a competitor. Even now when I say, oh, winning's not the most important thing to me, and as a teacher, I'm teaching that, I'm still a competitor. I still want to win.
Which is fine. For me, I find the more that we've talked about games, I'm much more interested in the storytelling facet of my play personality in board games. I had quite the back and forth with I'm Sabed about the need for a card or something to signify my presence as like campaigning, gaining influence. I was like, it's just in the story. Like it's woven into the game. It's woven into the fabric of the game that you go, you campaign, you get your influence. And for I'm So Bad, that wasn't enough. He needs a more concrete representation of how we're going to do that. When we come back to the problem of we have this broken strategy, one, we have to fix the broken strategy because the game doesn't play the way that we want it to. It's designed in a way that doesn't let us play the way that we want to, which I think has to bring us back as a design team to think about what things are we incentivizing in the game? Because you and I'm So Bad are going to find the things that optimize for scoring. And I think what I would love to see and the way we build a broader appeal is to have incentives that allow for more of these play personalities to have viable strategies of playing in the game.
Yeah. And I know we're getting like really close to just talking about balancing, which is going to be a big part of this game in its current form. But I imagine that's a big part of a lot of games when you're designing games, especially when you have different characters and different ways that you can play. We don't want a situation where the best way to play our game, you know, this is one of the things I think people really didn't like about Wingspan. As great of a game Wingspan is, that I think it is, Mark's not a huge fan of Wingspan. Wingspan's a really great game. It's a really beautiful game.
It's beautiful. It plays very logically. It has a lot of appeal in the way that you're strategically moving resources around. I think I would just categorize it in the subset of games that is not for me.
And I think with the original, with the base game, one of the strongest things that you can do in just the third, the final round of the game is just to lay eggs. And it really doesn't make sense to go and do these other things. And so we want to make sure that that isn't the case with what we're building. We want to make sure that there are viable strategies all the way through the game. So we're talking about the flyer. We're talking about smart and social carnivore. But we also want there to be a compelling reason to play the herbivore or the omnivore in the game or to go after those voters. So there's going to be a lot of conversations about balance for sure, for no other reason than, hey, this is our first time doing it, right? We play the games and we can see broken strategies. Creating a game and then making everybody as even as possible is hard to do. But we're trying to come up with ways right now to make the other traits just as viable. Because right now, I just want to play a carnivore now on our next playtest. I just want to be the carnivore. Coming up with ways to draw people to another set of traits is going to be key.
I agree with you that balance is important, but I think it's adjacent to the incentives that we actively want to put in the game. And what I mean by the incentives of the game, we know that the winner of Animal Kingdom is the person who gets the most votes. But in thinking about the pathways that we want to create to getting the most votes, I think is where we want to be able to appeal to different kinds of players. I'm reticent to go like talk about just Magic the Gathering, but Mark Rosewater did some early writing on different player archetypes in Magic the Gathering, where you have your hyper-competitive player, you have your combo player, and you have your player that just wants to like find cool things that are appealing to them. And I think there's a lot of truth, and Magic has such broad appeal, but there is some value to what are we going to put in for the hyper-competitive players that want to play this hyper-competitively with each other? What do we want to put in for the person who just creates their headcanon of, ah, yes, I'm the carnivore socialite, so I'm like the serial killer candidate.
Yeah, we want to really consider how they feel.
Allowing things in the game to incentivize players to explore those aspects of the game where it isn't just a min-maxing game.
So I want to jump in and just say, I understand what you're saying. I get that. Like, but I'm also like, I just want to win the game. Why do you want to do all these other things? Like, I just want to score the points. But I'm listening to you because I agree with you. I think you can't just build a board game for just me.
I mean, we did. It was Bark versus Jason.
It was all about min-maxing and destroying Mark.
But I think there are ways that you can that we can design the game, and my brain might not be sophisticated enough to think of it on the spot or how to do it by itself. But why can't your cool flyer bank combo be a viable strategy, whereas a more straightforward, like, map-based strategy could be a viable strategy? And then, like, now you give your min-maxers, like, different things to try and min-max. Can I win with the flyer strategy? Can I win with the map-based strategy? But you also create variety that allows the explorer to try different things every time they play the game. Part of why we have to take this detour to solve the rainbow problem, we can't put any of those things that we'd like to incentivize in the game while the rainbow strategy persists in the game.
You've given a couple of the names already just in your talking, and I'm catching them because I've looked at the list and I've heard the different ways that people want to play. Run through them.
Very quickly.
This is Tuckman, right?
This is Dr. Stuart Brown.
I just had to squeeze Tuckman in.
We missed our chance with business systems earlier.
Yeah, I was a little sad.
According to some of his writings, there's a joker that likes to make people laugh and play practical jokes. The kinesthete likes to move, dance, swim, and play sports. There are explorers that like going to new places, meeting new people, exploring different experiences. There's the competitor who likes all forms of competition. You like to keep score?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You like winning?
Even as a kid, like, I just play in anything, there was score.
You must be a hybrid of competitor in this next one. The director enjoys planning and executing events and experience, throwing parties and outings, leading the way.
I do, but like I said, there's like little parts of these things like I want to be, but I just keep coming back to the competitor as like the primary aspect.
I mean, and that's fine too, but I don't think anybody exists in a vacuum of solely the competitor.
Sure.
You can be more than one thing.
Thanks, man.
No problem. There's also the collector, which I feel like is the rainbow problem. Likes collecting, whether it's objects or experiences.
I feel like this is the person on PlayStation who gets like all of the...
side quests.
All of the side quests and then all of the...
trophies.
Trophies, yeah. All of the trophies. Like
all the achievements.
All the achievements in Eternal. Like, I never chased any of those. Didn't matter to me.
You've got your artist and creator who likes creating, fixing things, making something new out of the components they have. And you have your storyteller who likes to use their imagination to create and absorb, expresses their play through kind of their imagination. Not all of them are necessarily things that would translate perfectly into a board game, but having a framework of ways to appeal to different types of players, I think, is a smart business decision, Jason.
No, I already see this going into, like, I can see it on the Kickstarter page, like how we are bridging ourselves and how we are like making the game accessible to people who have different play patterns and different reasons for playing a game. I'm already seeing the marketing behind this. I like it.
I just want to have fun. And here you are business systeming it, collecting email addresses on newsletters.
Yeah, trying.
It's tough out there.
TheMisplay.com.
Circling back then, if we want to think of creating space in the game for a variety of players, we still need to mechanically solve the rainbow problem. Here we are. We're getting ready for another playtest. Take us through some of the proposed solutions or off-the-cuff things that you've thought about in terms of solving the rainbow problem.
I think the first one, and I jumped on your question right away, because I think there's an obvious one that we should try. Right now, the game is broken down into, let's call them, three categories of traits. We have movement traits. So within that, a character can be flying,
climbing,
and swimming.
I thought we were going to be good on the first one because we hit flying at the same time.
I didn't know you wanted to do them all together.
I just didn't get there.
So within the movement, there are three different ways that, you know, an animal can move. Well, you know, we also recognize that there are some animals that can do more than one. We think the quick fix, at least the first thing to try, is instead of allowing a candidate to, you like that, right? I've already adjusted the vernacular. Instead of allowing a candidate to select all of those things, like I'm So Perfect did, so you can't choose flying and climbing and swimming, you're going to pick one. So you can pick one trait. I think it makes sense thematically for somebody who is trying to position themselves towards certain animals. If I'm trying to collect votes, to go in and say, I have these really great ideas for flying animals. These are like the bills I would pass to make the cut down all of the trees and we can just fly around everything. It's not. And if you're somebody that is all for flying, then you're probably not as strongly supporting the swimming things or the climbing things. I just realized I just cut down all of the flying things home. So not a great strategy, not a great campaign platform to run on.
I mean, it sounds nice. It's got a nice, like short digestible message and just has consequences that you didn't think about.
But I can also see a case with somebody who like doesn't want to like commit to anything and wants, oh no, I'm good for flyers and the swimmers and the climbers. You should all vote for me. I can see it either way thematically, but I think we're going to try a version where you have to specialize. You have to pick one of those. I think that'll be the next playtest. Then there's another category of traits, social, smart, and sneaky. I don't know if they have a personality.
It was originally, a long time ago, that category was like special characteristic.
Yeah. So again, from those three, you would choose one. So now I can be flying and stealthy. And then the third category was the way animals eat. So herbivore, omnivore, and carnivore. And so then I could be a carnivore flying stealthy animal. Like, and then the traits would all play in a way, hopefully, that you can play the game as a stealthy flying carnivore, which is terrifying me right now, by the way. That seems like your serial killer candidate. I think that's enough. I think that's enough, at least for right now, to try to say, just pick one. Just pick one of these and play the game. But I think for the next playtest, it's really just about, did it work, right? Did I'm So Perfect win the game immediately?
Did we patch the break, essentially, is the question.
Right. So I think that's the first way to try. So the answer to the question, there's other things that we can try to do. For example, we could just set a cap. We could just say, you can't have more than four. You can't have more than five. Do whatever you want. If you want to be flying and climbing, do it. That's fine. You can be that person. Ugh, candidate. You can be that candidate. That's another way we can try to address it. Was there something else that was in our conversation that I'm not thinking of?
There was another offering in Discord of, I think it was Colacoma said, you could allow the grouped traits to contest each other, where if I increase my flying, I decrease one of my other traits, which also might be worth testing within a group. But I think we talked about the math going back and forth, and you're just like perpetually in a limbo state with how those influence progress when you have them competing that way. Another one that occurs to me is, I know we talked about really liking the auto banking a few playtests ago. If you took out the auto banking, I don't know that the rainbow strategy is as compelling or breaks the game in the way that it did in this playtest.
So they would still move to the character's leans, right? So they would go in front of the character, but we don't have enough interesting other ways to bank other than the bank action on your turn.
Wait till the next playtest.
Oh, you've been working on it, right? I'm looking forward to that playtest. I think that'll be Wednesday, sometime next week.
We're going to play an end game.
Yeah. We haven't had an end game since we've hit the turn. Just sounded cool to say.
Oh, like 5 minutes ago.
I know. It just sounded fun.
We just hit the turn, guys.
And now we have an end game.
If one of these solutions that we've talked about with the team is effective in removing the rainbow problem, what's next for us in terms of where you want to see the game go?
Well, it would probably be good to finish a game. That seems like the next step.
I can get behind that.
We don't have an end game yet. You've been working on one.
I have good news for you.
See, this is, I'm going to hear at the same time as the audience then, because I didn't know this. In our last meeting, we set some action items. We were all working on different parts of the game. I was working on the abilities. Mark was working on the end game. I haven't heard it yet. Yes, go on.
I am hoping to be allowed to take the liberty of proposing a different way of doing crowding in the game when we do our next playtest, and a minor adjustment to the turn cycle. I'd like to add a sub game after everyone takes a turn in a round. So if you, I'm So Perfect, and I are playing again together, you would take your action, I would take my action, I'm So Bad would take an action, take our turns.
Yep.
And then
mini game. Love it. Go
debates
on.
Debates and rallies.
Yes.
Debates trigger when there are multiple players in a habitat.
Okay.
Rallies trigger when a player is in a habitat alone at the end of the round.
I like this. I don't know what it is I like about it. I like having the turn and then something else happens.
Well, it simulates like you're doing your campaigning and then
yeah,
it's going to simulate the event of I either debate one of my candidate opponents or I'm going to rally my base. Broad strokes. Debates are places where you kind of risk voters to come to your leans.
Yeah.
And rallies are our opportunity to bank more voters at a time.
I love it. I'm just smiling at Mark. I'm like, yes, that makes sense to me.
The other piece that this is going to introduce is I want to introduce issues where we have issue cards and debates will center on an issue. Rallies will center on an issue. And then as issues will track on the campaign trail on a tracker, and the end game will trigger when we have accumulated a certain number of issues on the board.
Okay.
And then once the end game hits, it's election day.
Yep.
And so there'll be a process for revealing some hidden issues, and then voters will vote on the hidden issues to, as kind of like an end game, add some voters to your bank.
Could somebody move from somebody else's lean to me in that end game?
It's a good question. Probably. They probably have to.
Okay. I'm just curious. I don't know.
That's a good question.
One of the things that we've been struggling with the first two playtests is there haven't been a lot of voters in the leans because of the auto banking and the rainbow strategy. In this next version, I'm hoping to see that there'll be more voters in the lean sections so that different things can happen in the game, like you were describing with the rallies and the debates, where they can be interacted with and maybe moving up and down and not just into your bank.
I think that makes me want to just not play with auto banking in the next playtest, just to see how this version of rallies and debates plays. And then if the team likes it and if we think there's legs, I think debates and rallies in this new crowding framework will provide a lot of opportunities for us to inject more interesting decisions into the game, whether it's character abilities or your hippo cards, whatever other levers or pieces we want to include or add.
Well, I have good news for you, because when we make the changes to the traits where you can only choose one in each category, it is going to eliminate the odds of you being able to bank things automatically, because there's going to be far fewer animals that all have the same, that have those three traits. You won't have, as a candidate, you won't match as an, because with I'm So Perfect strategy, you matched every single one of them because he had one of each. Well, now you're not going to be able to do that. So I think you're going to be okay. I think we're going to see a lot more things stay in the leans.
Makes the next playtest sound really cool.
I wish it was tomorrow.
That's a story for another time.
We're getting there. Like you said, even in the last week, we've had two playtests. We're talking about two playtests that have happened in the last...
We're doubling our productivity, boss. The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. Nice and concise. 9:01. We're right on time. Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we take smart influence when we should have taken social influence.
I'm literally chewing the ice. You don't have headphones on, though.
You're doomed. You're going to hate this episode.
But I didn't do it on purpose.
All right, I'll take it out for you.
Thank you.
Because we're going to redo it.